Once again today, we are worshiping online, and so this is my, again, abbreviated sermon for Sunday, May the 3rd. Our sermon text today is Revelation 8, 10 to 13. Bible says, "Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the city did not shine, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" This is the word of the Lord. Gracious Lord, please bless now the hearing of your word. We pray, Lord, once again, that it would be your spirit that we hear, and not the voice of merely a man, but that by comparing scripture with scripture, we might make some sense of this difficult book and apply it to the difficult days in which we live. In Christ's name, amen. Well, last week we began the lengthy trumpet section of Revelation, which runs from chapters 8 to 14. And since we were beginning a new section, I spent a little time introducing you to the new period we're studying before surveying the plagues brought on by the sounding of the first two trumpets. Now, today we're going to look at trumpets 3 and 4, but before we do, I want to briefly remind you of a few of the more important points from our introduction of last week in order to set the context again for what we're about to hear today. All right, first, we must recall Israel had two kinds of trumpets. Some were used to summon the nation for worship, and others were used to summon the nation for war. We must never lose sight of the fact the book of Revelation is all about the relationship between worship and warfare. And I stress this because as we study the plagues unleashed by these various trumpets, it'd be very easy for us to forget that the sounding of the trumpets begins specifically in response to the prayers of the saints. But we must keep that in mind to properly understand this section, including our verses for today. More immediately, we must remember that just as the Old Testament Canaanite city of Jericho was destroyed by the sounding of seven trumpets, so also again seven trumpets signal the destruction of another wicked and unbelieving city. As we've seen throughout our study of Revelation, that wicked city is none other than Jerusalem, the city that kills the apostles and prophets, and even our Lord Jesus. Finally, I remind you that the plagues unleashed by the trumpets against Israel in this section are also reminiscent of the plagues that came upon Egypt. Since Revelation 11:8 clearly identifies Jerusalem with both Sodom and Egypt, we have more confirmation that apostate Israel is the primary recipient of the judgments proclaimed in this section. We must keep that in mind to make sense of today's text. All right, with those reminders out of the way, we're now ready to go to our text, which contains the plagues unleashed by the sounding of the next two trumpets. When the third angel sounds, we're told, "A great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter." Now, to understand the meaning of this imagery, we should think back to our first reading from Exodus 15, which tells of how, after Moses led Israel through the Red Sea, the nation came to a place called Marah, which means bitter. The Lord then instructed Moses to throw a tree into the water, which turned the bitter water sweet. But in the midst of the ordeal, the Lord spoke through Moses, saying, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And notice, providing Israel kept the Lord's commandments, the Lord promised he would not afflict them with the plagues that had stricken the Egyptians. The implication, though, is that if they did not keep his law, he would visit them with the judgments he poured out against Egypt, which included turning the waters of the Nile deadly. Hence, it's obvious Israel didn't keep the Lord's commandments, with the result they now suffer the judgments he formerly brought upon Egypt. Now, to grasp the specific nature of this judgment, which consists of a falling star named Wormwood, which, like Mara, also means bitter, we have to look back to the Old Testament, to the various places this name occurs, particularly in the writings of the prophet Jeremiah, when he foretells the coming destruction of Jerusalem and temple by the Babylonians. All right, first, the fact the fallen entity is described as a star, which falls particularly from heaven, teaches us it's a heavenly ruler of sorts. And I say this because, as we saw in our study of Revelation 6, throughout the Old Testament, heavenly bodies, you know, such as the sun, moon, and stars, are frequently used as symbols for rulers. And this is because when God created the heavenly bodies in Genesis 1, they are said to govern the day and the night. For this reason, when the prophets want to describe the downfall of rulers, they routinely use the imagery of falling stars to describe their demise. We see this in Isaiah 13, Isaiah 34, Ezekiel 32, Joel 2, etc. In this particular instance, it's long been believed that the star called Wormwood is either Satan or satanic representative. You know, C.S. Lewis, for example, in his Screwtape Letters, uses the name Wormwood for the apprentice demon in his story. The reason commentators have long associated Wormwood with Satan in Revelation 8 is because, unlike the sounding of the fourth trumpet when many rulers fall, in this instance, it is a single star in view that falls particularly from heaven. Since Jesus in his ministry saw Satan fall from heaven in response to the preaching of the gospel, and Revelation 12 explicitly describes Satan being cast out of heaven and sent to earth, it's long been believed that Wormwood stands in here as another name for Satan. For our purposes today, what's particularly significant is the effect Satan's fall has on the waters below, causing many people to die because of its bitterness. Recalling our first reading from Exodus 15 again, it speaks of how after leaving Mara, Israel came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. The point of the passage is to remind Israel of its job to bring life-giving waters, the 12 wells of water, to the 70 nations of the world of Genesis 10, represented by the 70 palm trees. But what has happened, when John writes, is that the nations whose job it was to give life to the world has instead become a source of bitterness and death. As we heard in our second reading from Ezekiel 47, all this was depicted by the prophet when he saw the laver in the temple's courtyard turn on its side, with the result that water flowed from the temple, giving health and salvation to wherever it went. However, as Deuteronomy 29:18 makes clear, in conjunction with the prophets Jeremiah and Amos, the apostasy of idolatry in Israel would cause the life-giving waters of the temple to become poisonous, so that instead of giving life, they would bring death. And that is precisely what happens when Satan falls from heaven and takes up residence in the temple, so that the synagogues of Israel become synagogues of Satan, as John frequently refers to them in Revelation 2 and 3. To explain, during Jesus' ministry, he repeatedly cast out demons, even in Israel's, you know, synagogues of all places. But he warned in Matthew 12 and elsewhere that if the Jews didn't receive his spirit, seven worse demons will come to inhabit the house. The result, Jesus says, is that the last state of that dwelling will be worse than the first. And just so there's no confusion over when this will be, Jesus adds, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. As John writes, it's obvious Jesus' prophecy is being fulfilled within the generation of his readers. I know we'll come back to talk about that more in just a moment. For now, let's simply note how the plague brought by the fourth trumpet follows logically from the plague brought by the third trumpet. Whereas the sounding of the third trumpet struck the waters, so now the sounding of the fourth trumpet strikes the sky, so that just as the skies of Egypt were darkened, so now the skies of Israel will be darkened as well. John writes, "Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night." And recalling what I said a moment ago about how the fall of rulers is often depicted with the symbolism of darkening skies and falling heavenly bodies, so also I believe that's again what's being depicted here by John. Frederick Farrar, writing of this time period, summarizes the prophecy well. I quote, "Ruler after ruler, chieftain after chieftain of the Roman Empire and the Jewish nation was assassinated and ruined. Gaius, Claudius, Nero, Galba, Otho, Vitellius, all died by murder or suicide. Herod the Great, Herod Antipas, Herod Agrippa, and most of the Herodian princes, together with not a few of the leading high priests of Jerusalem, perished in disgrace or in exile or by violent hands. All these were quenched suns and darkened stars." All right, finally, we come to the end of our text where John warns of greater calamities that are about to come. Since we'll look at those in the coming weeks, I'll forego saying any more about them today so we can talk a little about what we learn from what we've heard today. Primary thing I want to leave you with to consider is the relationship between the sounding of the third and fourth trumpets. To explain, I think we can see a relationship between the third and fourth trumpets by realizing the plague brought by the fourth trumpet is a consequence of the plague brought by the third trumpet. Okay? To illustrate this point from the Old Testament, we know Israel was called to be a light to the nations. When Israel fulfilled its calling, the world was at peace. But when it fell, the world was plunged into the darkness of sin and the curse. The prophet Azariah explained the consequences of this, of its failures, in 2 Chronicles 15, when he said, "For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. In those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity." Turning to the New Testament, we see this when the Jewish leaders cast the apostles out of the temple for proclaiming the gospel. When that happens, the life-giving waters of the apostles are dammed up while the poisonous teaching of the Jews is allowed to spread. Hence, it's no wonder the old Jerusalem with its poisonous waters had to be destroyed and replaced with the new Jerusalem, from which John later tells us flows a pure river of water of life for the healing of the nations. And what all this teaches us is that we must remember that behind all the headlines we read today, in which it seems our world has gone completely crazy with all the conflicts we're witnessing, lies a much more important battle in the heavenly places where the real conflicts occur. As Paul reminds us, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. In short, what all this means is judgment begins in the house of God, and the convulsions we witness on earth are the result of God's decree from heaven. That means our priority has to be getting our act together by remembering all those warnings John issued to the churches of Revelation back in chapters 2 and 3. Together they teach us that until God is pleased with us as a church, we can expect more turmoil let loose on our culture. Only when our ways please him will he hear our prayers for vengeance to rise before him as incense and make our enemies to be at peace with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious God, have mercy upon us, Lord. Refine your church, purify us, and hear our prayers, Lord God, and spread your word and advance the kingdom of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.